It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Imagine parking your car in the driveway of the home you own, just as you have been for the past two decades, and then being notified that you're facing a fine of up to $1,000 for parking your car in your own driveway. There is an obscure and infrequently enforced ordinance in Pittsburgh that prohibits homeowners from parking in their own driveways without a $225 zoning variance and permit. So where is it being enforced and why? I'm joined now in Studio A by Pittsburgh City Councilman Corey O'Connor. Councilman O'Connor, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Dr. Jeff Friedman, who is a Squirrel Hill resident. Dr. Friedman, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Paul.
And we'd like to hear from you. You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Have you been fined or threatened with a fine for parking in your own driveway in Pittsburgh? 412-246-2002. We invited John Jennings, acting chief of the Bureau of Building Inspections, to take part in this interview. Unfortunately, he was unable to participate. Corey O'Connor, apparently this law has been around for a while. What can you tell us about the history behind it?
It's been around since 1958. That's a little outdated at this point because back then people may have only had one car. Now you're looking at two or three to some families. And not to mention, you know, we want cars off some of our streets because of a safety hazard. You know, if we're plowing streets or something and we can't get anywhere, a car off the street in a driveway really supports our public works department. So what it is it's a 29-foot setback. Now, that means your house or anything else like that has to be 29 feet. So
20 feet
from the curb, 29 feet from the curb. So if you take a driveway where even if it goes to your backyard and you could pull into a garage or a park in the backyard, whatever it might be, the car, if you pull up 5 feet in, park your car, run in, take your groceries, drop your kids off, you can be cited for that because you're not at the 29-foot setback.
Why 29 feet? Why did they feel that was necessary?
Now, there's a couple ways to look at it. Obviously, you know, some people could think of it as aesthetics where, you know, we don't want cars right up on the curb. I understand if you're parked on the sidewalk and you're blocking, that is a safety hazard. No problem with that being cited or warned about that blocking the sidewalk. But when you're on your own property, you know, in my opinion, as long as the car's a valid car, I don't see what the problem is if you park 5 feet in or 10 feet in. But to request people to park 30, now, even if you have what is declared a driveway, the driveway has to go 30 feet. So it's funny. The ordinance says that the driveway has to go 30 feet, but nothing can be past a 29-foot setback. So I don't know a car that's 1 foot wide. It really makes no sense. We're going in circles with this ordinance.
Well, the other thing, though, is we're really not nobody seems to know why. Why was it so important? I mean, there's the aesthetic situation, but in 1958, what was the discussion about? What was the concern?
We have asked that question. I do not know. I mean, I don't know what the answer is to why that was the setback. I understand – well, actually, let me take that back. I understand the setback for – properties or building lines not being right against the curb. That is
sure.
A valid. I understand that.
But that's not what's
happening here. This is a driveway where you're parking a car and you're getting a ticket in your own driveway.
Dr. Friedman, describe what happened in your case.
Well, we've been living in Squirrel Hill for 18 years almost, and have been parking on our driveway designated as such for as many. In fact, the people who had previously owned our house had been parking on this driveway for 30 years. We were issued a letter from the BBI, Bureau of Building Inspection, that was stating that we were doing things against the law. We're law-abiding citizens, and they were directing us to obtain a certificate of occupancy, which I thought was bizarre to have
And just to kind of back up here a little bit and just give people the full backstory. You've lived in your home for 18 years, and you have parked in your driveway for 18 years without anybody saying so much as boo about it.
That's correct. Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, what happens exactly? You get this, you just get a notification in the mail?
Yes. Apparently, the BBI generates and sends out a letter requesting that we obtain a certificate of occupancy to occupy our own home, I guess. But when I go down to 200 Ross Street, as it's directed by BBI, to go to the BBI, to the zoning board, to obtain such an occupancy letter, I'm told that I can't obtain such a letter. It's not possible. No one has been successful in obtaining this certification. So that's another layer of strangeness.
Well, kind
of,
like, and that's the worst part, if I can jump
in. Sure,
that's the worst part is we as a city, this is our customers coming to us. This is our customer service is we're telling Dr. Friedman, well, don't even apply because guess what? Even if you do, we're not going to give it to you. You know, that really bothered me even more because they're representing the city. They're representing, you know, my office, other councilmen's offices, and the people of Pittsburgh. And that's the answer they get. That was just that was the top of the line for me, how absurd that those answers were.
So then what happened after they told you, after, you know, this Joseph Heller catch-22 moment where they're saying, you need this, but we're not going to give it to you. Then what happens?
Well, I spoke with my neighbors who've also been issued this letter and who've also gone to court and unsuccessfully tried to win this ridiculous argument after being fined, by the way, $2,400. So the courts are using our hard-earned taxpaying dollars for this kind of ordinance. The judges, again and again, following the law, are saying, no, we're just not going to give you any kind of variance, any kind of certificate allowing you to park in your own driveway. Knowing that that is going to be fruitless, I figured, okay, well, why don't I call Councilman Corey O'Connor and see if we, with his help, with his guidance, can make change to this ordinance so that we Pittsburghers don't look stupid and don't look unwelcoming to those who want to come to our city.
You wrote a couple of letters, Dr. Friedman, including one to Eric Wagner, vice president of the Squirrel Hill Urban Coalition. What were some of the things that you pointed out in your letter?
Well, I was concerned that he has taken the agenda to make sure that this ordinance is followed by all those who have been issued this letter. And I asked Eric to be more neighborly. You know, I should point out, by the way, Squirrel Hill has a kind of a magical quality to it in that this is where Fred Rogers lives. So literally, we're living in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. And I asked Eric, why don't we just be kind of, you know, compassionate, you know, as was espoused and campaigned by Mr. Rogers, and help us. Eric was adamant about pursuing this. In fact, showed up in court to back up this ordinance. And I have not heard from him yet.
And one thing we apparently do know, or that you say you have a photograph of, is a vehicle on none other than Eric Wagner's own driveway, parked within a couple feet of the curb, well short of the mandated 29 feet. So here is the man who is enforcing the law and yet breaking it, apparently breaking it himself.
There's a touch of irony here,
to say the least. And as you point out, this law, or at least the way it is being enforced, could very well be considered unconstitutional.
Yeah. So what I've learned in going forward, learning as much as I can about this, is that this is what's called selective enforcement. If only a handful of people within the city are being targeted by this ordinance by way of complaint, then it does fall under what's called the 14th Amendment that clearly states that all citizens must be subject to the law equally. Well, this is clearly in contrast to the 14th Amendment.
We are talking here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA about Pittsburgh building code officers citing residents under an obscure and infrequently enforced ordinance that prohibits homeowners from parking in their own driveways without a $225 zoning variance and permit. If you want to take part in the conversation, 412-246-2002, the email address esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter @esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. We have a couple of tweets, one from Rebecca who says, why does the city pick ordinances like driveway setback to enforce and not things that are actually hazardous, like not shoveling sidewalks? I'll throw that to you, Corey O'Connor.
I totally agree. You know, of all things, this is kind of obscure to do all at once. And it hurts residents who are following the law, paying taxes for these properties, and yet you can't – not that we let you do whatever you want in there, but, you know, you can't park your car with – which is a given driveway. And I think the other issue is there's a difference between driveways and parking pads, and that's going to be a very confusing part of this ordinance that we have to solve. You know, if a driveway has been existing for so many years, that's one thing. If they have a curb cut and everything like that – we don't want to get to the point where people just throw gravel on their yard and start parking trailers or vans or things like that. That's an issue, and we don't want to do that. But if we can identify it as a physical driveway where there's a curb cut, and that also leads to yet another problem where we have to talk to Public Works about who is granted a curb cut. That's another angle that has to be solved in this whole problem.
Well, and then there's also the whole issue of, you know, part of what is driving this is aesthetics. And as you pointed out in one of your letters, Dr. Friedman, there is this reinforced idea that we've seen in American culture in photographs of the perfect American home, that there's the house and the tree in the middle of the yard and the driveway with the car in the driveway. Maybe not an old Ruster, but, you know, the automobile is definitely parked in the driveway. It's kind of part of what we do as Americans, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's why another layer of kind of bizarreness for me, that the American mythic, iconic image of a homeowner is, as you said, Paul, the, you know, the nice house, the front lawn with a tree, and a driveway with a car. And that's what we've been enjoying for almost 18 years.
David tweets, is the spirit of driveway ordinance not intended to occupy the setback? I'm thinking of trailers or non-residential items. Go ahead, Corey.
That's to the point where, you know, we don't want a gravel pit to show up and then, you know, trailer
right.
parks and things like that. And that brings up a good point, which we had mentioned a couple seconds ago, is that's the other difficulty of this ordinance is how we fix it so that those things don't pop up and yet people are still allowed to park in a driveway where they've been for 20-something years.
Corey O'Connor, you know, the bottom line here is at the heart of the question, is this a fair law? In your opinion, is it fair? And if not, what do we do about it?
I don't believe it is. And what we're trying to do now, we have another meeting with some zoning and planning officials tomorrow. And we're trying to, first of all, get a setback to where you can pull into your driveway with a licensed vehicle. We don't want an abandoned car in your driveway, with a licensed vehicle with a plate number and everything. And we want to bring that number in from probably 29 feet to 5 or 6 so that you could fit a car in there. And then we work on the second piece, which is defining driveways and parking pads so that we don't run into these problems.
If this law, as Dr. Friedman pointed out, if it's not being enforced throughout the city, if it's being selectively enforced, should it then be enforced at all? Should any law that is administered in this way, that is enforced in this way, be enforced at all?
And that's where it's – and Dr. Friedman pointed it out – is they only went up half the street, which how is that fair? But how they went out there, BBI got complaints. And again, we want them to go out for a complaint. But to not give any residents a warning that we're going to be, you know, citing you for the most obscure law there is, that's not fair to the residents. And the answer I was given was, well, we usually don't cite that. Well, guess what? You just did. And that opens up the can of worms to the discussion that we're having today.
Let's take a call from Carmen on the South Side. Carmen, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi.
Hi, Carmen.
We have a similar thing that happened to us, but it's a different ordinance. I guess the parking law is written such that you're not allowed to block a driveway. And we live in the South Side, and we're lucky enough to have a driveway, and so we can kind of accommodate parking two cars, one in the driveway and one blocking it. And for 13 years, we've done this, and then one day we got a ticket, and we thought that's absurd. And I don't know. We went to parking court, and luckily the judge threw it out. But the way the law is written, the letter of the law states that you cannot block a driveway, period. And there's no exception to the owner being the person who blocks it or giving permission to a guest. So,
that seems strange.
Yeah.
Well, but then again, though, if you're I would imagine if you're a policeman or someone from the city who is patrolling the street and you see that, should we be requiring the police officers to go and knock on the door and did you give permission to this person, et cetera, and then what if nobody's home, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and Carmen, this came up throughout the discussion as well, and I don't have an exact answer for you. The only thing I could think of is safety hazards in case there was a fire or the fire truck had to pull into a driveway or get close to the curb for some reason. I'm not sure. And then also access in case part of the sidewalk is closed for handicap accessible. You might have to pull down through a driveway to get around a sidewalk that's being worked on. That could be – those are my only thoughts. I'm not the expert on that, but that would be the reason probably.
Let's go to Lynn in the South Hills. Lynn, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. I was just wondering if this ordinance is being enforced by walkers maybe originally, because I live in the South Hills and people always are pulled back way into the sidewalk, and I'm a walker with my dogs and we have to navigate around. But also people park way up over the curb and onto the sidewalk, and you have to navigate around that. My church is in Squirrel Hill. I rarely see that happening in Squirrel Hill, but where it was happening, they probably got nailed. And I'm wondering if it's due to the walkers that this is happening.
Well, Lynn, I mean, we all agree that if you're blocking a sidewalk, that's a safety hazard for everyone. That's a problem. From what we were told, this was a citation that came not from a walker, but from a resident in the neighborhood.
Lynn, thank you for the phone call. We need to wrap up this segment, but my last question would be to you, Corey O'Connor. Have you had talks with the BBI about this, and what's going on here?
We had some interesting discussions the first couple days. They were getting flooded with calls, which rightfully they should, because this ordinance is a little absurd because, like I just said, if my neighbor parks there and now I have a issue with my neighbor, I could just call and give him a ticket, and that's not right.
So where do we see this going? What's the fix here?
So the fix, first of all, our office is working on legislation that we're talking with. I believe if we can change the setback first and then define driveway, parking pad, and curb cuts, and then we probably have a solution that bans citywide, because this can be ticketed anywhere in the city.
It's an interesting situation and one that I'm sure has been aggravating to many residents of Pittsburgh, particularly in Squirrel Hill, and to our guest, Dr. Jeff Friedman, Squirrel Hill resident, joining us. Thank you so much for being with us to share your story, and hopefully this will come to a positive resolution.
Thanks very much, Paul, for the opportunity.
And also thanks to Pittsburgh City Councilman Corey O'Connor for joining us in studio. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Coming up, Geeks on a Mission. We'll talk about a new book about CMU students lending tech support to poor countries. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.